Booker.
In this wicked old heart of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people say there ain't no use to cry.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardward Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Are you there, caller?
I think I am.
Who are you, caller?
My name is Rupert Pumpkin. I'm calling from the cafe down the corner there, and I'm just wondering if you got any of those complication records with all those people on it? And
please explain. Who are you?
You know who it is. It's Tim. It's Tim here. Tim Ray. How are you?
Good. How the hell are you, Tim Ray?
Please. Oh, not bad.
Please explain your cryptic language there about the complication stuff.
Oh, well, you know, that's coming up. So I just thought, you know, I wasn't thinking really. And I think it's going to be a hoot, don't you? You're going to be there too, right?
Well, why don't you explain a bit about it, Tim Ray, Vancouver's original alternative punk rocker.
Yeah, how are you? Well, you know, it's
because,
nice to
Tim,
be here.
Let's get a bit of background on you, Tim. You were the first guy in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to release a 7-inch, an independent 7-inch, like do-it-yourself, right?
DIY, right.
And if you could please give some background on your integration into the Vancouver musical scene and how it will all exist right up to today and tomorrow's Vancouver Complication CD release party. And for people that don't know, what is the Vancouver Complication? Please,
right.
Tim.
Okay. Well, the Complication album is, the accumulation of all the groups of that time period, which is a pretty explosive musical and radical period in Vancouver's musical history. And let me tell you, I know a lot of the people on the record and brilliant minds on this record. It's amazing if you just sort of think about what happened, what turned out, and things like that. When I came on the scene, I think personally, I've been weaned for this scene since a teenager because I played in bands in school, two of them, and I was considered a bit of an outsider and a weirdo and all this sort of thing. And I was discriminated against and, but I think out of that, you know, all that youth and all that kind of background, you know, evolved, the scene evolved through all that sort of frustration, too, and their own individual, you know, backgrounds and circumstances and things like that.
And your band was Tim Ray and A.V., and
apparently, yeah,
you were on the Vancouver Complication,
yeah,
and we're talking about this today in an Art, What a Human Serviette
yeah
radio show, and we're going to be joined by a whole bunch of other Vancouver Complicationers. It was your idea to gather the phone into an Art, What a Human Serviette
right
radio show. So thank you very much, Tim, for suggesting this.
Beautiful.
And we're going to have phoning in, hopefully. I've put an invitation out to. I'm not sure if everybody will phone in.
Right.
But maybe you could give a background on some of these people who will be phoning in to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today.
Okay. Well,
Steve Macklem will be phoning in, hopefully.
Oh, he's going to call in. Okay.
We've put the word out. Who is Steve Macklem? What is his importance to the Vancouver Complication?
Well,
and maybe, did you explain a bit, Tim Ray, about the record that you're on, this Vancouver Complication record?
Okay. Steve Macklem was one of the original, is the original of, you know, getting this record done and started along with Chris Cutress up there and Burnaby and Joey, I guess. Had a lot to do with it, and especially in this run. And they're the people behind the record, you know, like the people in the record shop. These are the people behind the record. And they recorded everybody, you know, in the, that was happening at the time. And all the groups that were punk or alternative, all-inclusive, which was really good, too, which just didn't do one genre. It sort of did the whole thing there. And
it's pretty amazing because the Complication has, like, the Pointed Sticks,
yeah.
Exotone,
yeah.
DOA,
no
Act of Dog, Waste of Lives, Subhumans, You Jerks,
yeah.
No Fun,
yeah.
Dish Rags, Biz, K-Tail, Shades,
yeah.
And Tim Ray and AV are right there on track number 22 of their issue
cool.
on the Vancouver Complication. How did you fit in? This was originally issued in 1979. How did you fit in at that time, Tim Ray, from Tim Ray and AV? Because Joey Shithead told me, or somebody told me, that they remembered going to see you guys, like, at the Balmoral.
Yeah.
The Balmoral, and, like, it was like people were throwing a lot of stuff at you. It was pretty rough.
Yeah. Actually, that was weird. The Balmoral, that was wild. We had people throwing their shirts up and throwing their breasts at us and doing all sorts of weird... It was, like, a real absurd night. And the Balmoral is, like, you know, pretty shady-eighty. And, you know, it's... It was sort of very raw, but we wanted, you know, sort of like a crowd that wasn't, you know, the usual crowd. We wanted to do just, you know, that end of it for some reason. I don't know why. I know Ray Kondo, before he passed away, did a gig there. And I don't know. It's a big hall and all that kind of stuff. And the funny thing is, I'm in a case where the Balmoral, the people who own the Balmoral, have tried to murder me. I've had two attempts on my life from those people. So it's a very weird game. But anyways, there you go.
And the opinions expressed on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show are those of Tim Ray and only Tim Ray, who will be participating in the Vancouver Complication CD release party tomorrow night at the Wise Hall. Joey Shithead has reissued the Vancouver Complication CD. And that's what we're talking about today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. What did you look like back then, Tim, when you were playing? I've seen pictures of your band, Tim Ray and AV, and we're going to be hearing your track, Dying in Brooklyn. You're wearing a hockey mask in one of the pics.
Yeah, I did. I was kind of theatrical sometimes. I'd use baby powder. I used a hockey mask. And then I also had a flying V made for me, and they weren't very popular at the time, but they are now. And then I ended up not really liking it and traded for a Fender Orange Fender Jazz Master with Napier Hemi. I kind of traded off on that. And the look stuff, I remember, because when I came back and I was here, it was really like nothing was, it was a very dull, there was no punks on the scene, there was no people dressing cool or outro or anything like that. It was just, you know, and actually at that time you had to make your own clothes if you wanted to have that look. You had to actually sew. Luckily I took a sewing program in school so I could sew.
What year would have that been, Tim?
77, I guess, yeah.
So there was no thrift stores to go get your cool duds
in? No, I didn't really have until 78. The thrift store scene really picked up. I mean, but, you know, the thrift stores were always there. We went to Three Vats and things like that. You know, my friend used to wear the four-cornered hat that Steve Jones did, except this was in 76, right? So we didn't know. I mean, we hadn't seen Sex Pistols. But I think, you know, we were like weaned, like I was saying, you know, from being in school and playing in bands and... accumulating this attitude and all this sort of stuff with it, you know. It seemed like I was just made for it, and it just went to-doom like that. So I think you just had to be there, and you had to have that kind of intuition going on and background and decadent taste and things like this to really, you know, instead of REO Speedwagon, it was New York Dolls, you know?
So Tim Ray, Vancouver's original punk rocker, you really do have the first release from the Vancouver independent scene,
nice.
Right? Isn't that true? That is true, right,
yeah,
Tim Ray?
Yeah, it's been out for a long time.
Who are you looking forward to seeing tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I don't know who all is playing, but the Shades will be good, because I think they'll be good. Subhumans, I think, will be great. I don't know. You probably know more than I who's playing, sort of thing.
The Dish Rags?
Dish Rags is going to be great, of course. Yeah.
No fun. And members of the Pointed Sticks as well are going to be performing tomorrow night at the Wise Hall in celebration of the Vancouver Complication CD release party. And just to catch up to date what's going on now, what happened in between Tim Ray and AV? Why did you break up? And how did you end up jamming with the Butt Old Surfers?
I have a visual arts film art career in New York, and it started in 87 in New York, and then I didn't really do much in Vancouver. And then I was also a victim of very heavy hate crime, sort of corporate fraud thing. That kind of was a nuisance. And then with the Butthole Surfers, I had done that via New York, and the same thing that we do now, the VJ thing has become so popular now, But when we started it, again, that innovation hadn't really taken hold, and there wasn't that medium going or that art form going on. So I continue with that now, and did a show in New York, just did a exhibit, and 5-week exhibit in New York, and then again, just sort of every year the same thing. I'm with an arts magazine, Prove It, and I just sort of do the routine sort of thing. And then the bit about the band breakups and all, there wasn't really band breakups. They just, the members actually kind of kept the same the whole time, all those years, just that I sort of interwove them at times. So basically the same people. And I just went out the other night with some of those people, which was great fun. And no, my band members, things like that, keep contact. So and the funny thing is, we were chatting the other day and we were saying, our band, there was a lot of personal things going in other bands, where it was, fireworks, and in our band, there wasn't any. It was very cool. Everybody appreciated it. Everybody appreciated everybody else. And that worked out great. So it's pretty cool. It worked out good.
And sure, here we have the song Dying in Brooklyn. What can you tell the people about that, Tim Ray? Tim Ray and the Druts.
Yeah, that was a Capilano. That was a great studio band, Capilano College of Music students. And I think it's very, very well played. It's a just suburbia, dissatisfaction of suburbia at that time. And I voiced it. That way, hopped up cars, all that sort of stuff, take me to the local bar, da-da-da-da, get me out of suburbia, this sort of thing, dissatisfaction of that whole thing. But anyways.
And here it is. Well, thanks so much for phoning in to the Nardwuar
cool.
Serviette Radio Show.
Cool.
Tim Ray, Vancouver's original alternative rocker. And doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot. Thanks, Nardwuar.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
and you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerdwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we just heard Tim Ray and the Druts with Living in Suburbia from the reissue of the Vancouver Complication CD. And we're joined on the line now by, who are you? Are you there, caller?
I sure am. How you doing?
Good. Who the hell are you, caller? Who the hell are you?
I've been known by many names, but I go by the name Zippy Pinhead.
Hello, Zippy Pinhead!
How you doing?
Welcome to the Nerdwater Human Serviette Radio Show. We just played Tim Ray there. What do you remember about Tim Ray, and what is the Vancouver Complication, and what's going on tomorrow night?
Well, boy, tomorrow night sounds like a complete gaff. I remember Tim and watching Tim going to a lot of parties. They used to have a really excellent punk rock sort of house, one of the first sort of punk rock band houses down, can't quite remember, I think it was in around Marine Drive somewhere, where we used to go down and invade the house and drink all their beer and party and everything, but it was fun. Everybody got along really well back then, and
he released the first independent 7-inch out of Vancouver, didn't he? Like, he's the original.
Yeah, he was the one that sort of, it was funny, I almost forgot about that, and I was listening to the radio, and I went, hey, yeah, that's right, he was the first guy. Yeah, and I remember Ronnie as drummer, too, it's going to be a totally hilarious night tomorrow night, that's for sure.
Who's going to be playing tomorrow night, Zippy, and what bands do you remember playing the original record release party for the Vancouver Complication, and how do you fit in for people that don't know who you are? How do you represent on the Vancouver Complication CD that's just been reissued?
Well, funny you should ask. We actually weren't there for the original release party because I ended up in Biz, which is Brad, Ian, and Zippy, and we didn't know what to name the band, but Ian came down to California where Brad had just joined the Avengers, and I was in a band called KGB, and it was right before I joined the Dills, and we had known this guy that lived in Stockton, California, had like a garage studio, and so we went over. He wanted us to do some recording, and we found out about the record that was being made up here. So we went, oh, well, why don't we go over to this guy's house and drink a bunch of beer and put down a couple of songs and send them back to Canada and see if they make it on the record. And sure enough, one of them did, which we thought was completely hilarious. But that was Brad Kent, me and Tiles, and myself in a studio in Stockton, California.
What was the song? Was that the song Pork You in the Parking Lot?
That was the song. It was originally done by Victorian Pork, and I believe I'm going to be playing with Tony, who was not only in the Pork, but also the original bass player for the Pointed Sticks, and I think his daughter might be making an appearance, too. So Tony's going to be there. I'm going to be playing with them tomorrow night for sure.
And we also have listed No Fun, The Subhumans, Rude Norton Review, E, The Shades, The Dish Rags, and members of Pointed Sticks, Exitone, Active Dog, etc., etc.
Let's just hope they've got a lot of beer.
And this is tomorrow night at the Wise Hall, Saturday, February 19th.
At the Wise Hall,
yeah. The reissue of the Complication. Have you seen the reissue yet?
No, I actually haven't. Tony stopped by the other day and gave me a rendition of Pork You, which I haven't heard in like 100 years, and I thought that was just awesome. I thought, oh yeah, and it's just as classic today as it was then.
And Zippy, you have nicknames for everybody involved. For instance, later on in Nerdwater Human Serviette Radio Show, Bill Napier Hemi is going to be phoning in. Now, you have a nickname for Bill Napier Hemi of the Pointed Sticks, don't
well,
you?
Well, we did call him Bill Napier Homo, but I mean, you know, it was just because he sort of looked like, you know, a little out of place. He sort of looked like a school teacher. And then I found out the other day he actually is a school teacher. So basically it was, you know, grooming for later on in life for Bill, I think. And, you know, we call him, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But we gave everybody a bit of a hard time because we were the big, nasty punk rockers.
And you also gave the nickname Phil God Save the Queen Smith.
He basically gave that one to himself.
And he played in the band Wasted Lives and also did the liner notes for this reissue. What were the Wasted Lives like back then, Zippy?
The Wasted Lives? I don't know. I was too wasted. No, they were a good band. I mean, all the bands back then had their own merits. And it was fun because everybody was a bit different. Everybody had their own sort of little, this is what I do. And everybody loved them for it. So that's what made the record so great, because everybody was so great in their own little genres.
And Zippy, you're represented by Biz on this record, but you were in a whole bunch of other bands. What is your history in Vancouver for rock and roll? Was the Stiffs your first band?
Gosh, you got an hour? I mean, starting with the Stiffs and the Rabid and those bands like that.
Let's go back to the Stiffs for a second. Who are the Stiffs? They're not on the Vancouver Complication,
well,
but are they the band that pioneered the song Fuck You? Were you in the room when the Vancouver legendary song Fuck You was actually...
You bet. I was the first guy to record that song. And we had the legendary Sid Sick on vocals. And we had John Doe... And, I don't think it was John Doe. I think it was Jerry Useless and Mike Normal.
Did you know it was going to be an instant classic right then and there, like when you first heard Fuck You? Like, what did you think about that song? Because that is like the Canadian national anthem.
The first time we thought the same thing. We thought it was a classic song. Jerry came up with that song, and it was like... pretty well the little punk rock anthem for us at the time, that's for sure.
So the Stiffs never recorded anything that was actually released?
I'm not sure about that. Could be. Actually, I could have sworn that I saw something somewhere that had the Stiffs on it. Because the Stiffs were there, and then the Rabid came afterwards, so... Yeah, it's hard to say. I know that we did like three songs, like 1978 or 77 or something like that. I think it was 78. So yeah, that was our first my first journey into a recording studio. I've done probably about a thousand since then. That's for sure.
And then after that, there was the Rabid. What were the Rabid like, and how come they're not on the Vancouver Complication?
Once again, I was in California. I had quit the Rabid and went to California to make my fortune, so to speak. And I ended up doing really well down there, and came up here, played with DOA for a little while, and then went Rampage, gave me a ride back down there, and I ended up joining the Dills, which was by far the best career move I've made in a long time.
I thought your life ambition was to eat a pocket calculator.
Me and calculators don't get along very well, actually. You got to get the old bandana out there, or I'll start sweating.
But why didn't Rabid actually appear on the Complication? They were, like, too good for it? Like, it wasn't punk enough for them? Do you know anything about that? How come, like, Rabid never had a legacy?
No, it was so out of my hands by that point. I mean, we were lucky to the fact that we put out did the recordings that we did down in California, and they actually made it onto something. We thought that was hilarious that it actually, you know, went. By that time, I was already in the Dills, and they go, oh, yeah, Zip, they put that out. I'm like, no way. You gotta be joking. And somebody gave it to me down there, and I thought it was just the most hilarious thing in the world. So, yeah, you gotta love it.
What were Rabid like live? Like, how killer were you guys?
Well, we were really hardcore punk rock. Like, I mean, as hardcore as you can get for 1978 in Vancouver. We were all of our influences were the only punk rock bands that we knew at the time, which were The Clash, The Pistols, The Ramones, and DOA. So, you were a combination of all those things. And that's probably what made us, stick to our guns the way we did.
What happened to the rest of Rabid? Where have they shown up?
Gosh, I know I saw Sid down in the West End. He was living beside me for a while down there. So that was, it was good to see Sid. Besides that, I know that Stubby Pecker, who Simon Wild, died of a brain aneurysm, and John Doe, I think he's living up in Williams Lake or something like that.
So tomorrow night at...
Or maybe England. Either Williams Lake or England.
Tomorrow night at the Wise Hall, Zippy Pinhead of Biz, what are you going to be performing? How many tracks? And what tracks do you think you might be doing? And will you be doing any surprise jamming? Anything for people to look forward to?
I think it's all going
to
be a big surprise there in Nardwuar. You know, I can't let the whole thing out of the bag, pal.
So there is going to be a surprise then. There is a secret surprise coming up.
Let's just say I won't be pulling a rabbit out of my hat.
Ba-boom! And you are Zippy Pinhead of Biz, playing tomorrow night at the Wise Hall and part of the Vancouver Complication CD reissue. You're mentioning the deals. What brought you down to San Francisco? That was Randy Rampage brought you down. Like, how did you end up in the deals? How did you actually end up in the deals?
Well, I quit KGB. Shithead gave me a call because Descott said, quit DOA once again. So Shithead said, gotta come up and play in DOA. I went, okay. So I came up and played in DOA, and then Biscuits rejoined the band, and he knew the songs better than me. So I went, fine, but you gotta take me back to San Francisco. And Rampage said, that's okay, I'll drive him. And he had this little Volkswagen Bug, so for, you know, the next 20 hours, me and Randy drove down to San Francisco about 2 days after I got fired from DOA. And dropped me off with some friends down there, and probably about maybe a couple of weeks after that, I joined the Dills and phoned up Shithead and go, dude, guess what? You kicked me out of DOA? Thanks, I just joined the Dills. And I was real happy about that. I was, you know, I wanted to join that band real bad anyways. And
like, they were amazing, and they were commies. How commie were the Dills? Like, how commie were they? Were you really...
I think Tony had a bit of some socialist views going on. And Chip and I were, you know, basically musicians. And Chip, you know, sort of got thrown into it because, you know, he's a brother. Of course, they shared the same beliefs, but Tony was... you know, basically the guy that was very outspoken in the band, and Chip was more of a songwriting kind of guy, and I was the drummer guy that liked to hang out with Chip, and we used to skateboard and smoke a lot of pot.
But they didn't put you through any tests or anything like that, Zippy Pinhead? I mean, these guys are pretty hardcore. I read an interview with them, and they didn't even like Devo. They're like, yeah, Devo. Devo's no good. We're the best. Devo's bad.
They probably never saw Devo play live, that's why. I thought the first time, I sort of thought the same way, and the first time I saw Devo play live, I went, well, these guys are pretty good, you know, and they had a really good show and stuff like that. So, you know, don't be going slagging bands that you haven't even seen live, you know.
Zippy Pinhead, did John Cale like the Dills? I heard that he really liked the Dills. What sort of plans were there with John Cale and the Dills? Do you know?
I had no idea about that.
Like, how big did the Dills get up until, like, I guess they broke up? Like, at the very end, how big was it? Were there many plans?
We were doing lots of big shows down in Los Angeles and stuff like that, and we were... there wasn't really a lot of plans at the end because I think Tony had really made up his mind that he was going to take off to Portland with his girlfriend, and Chip had already made up his mind that he wanted to go to New York. So there was basically a dissolving of the Dills was already there anyways. You know, the two brothers just didn't want to, you know, hang out with each other anymore, which, you know, that happens.
Did you get any offers from major labels at all? Because people might be interested in hearing what Zippy Pinhead contributed to the Dills. And I know you're on the Made in Canada EP. Were there any plans for full-length recordings? Were there any major label offers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We did that with Bob Rock, right, up here. And we were going to do some more recording, but at the same time, it was hard to find people that wanted to put out a record back then, believe it or not. And that's why we found Jerry Baird, and that's why we made it up here. They go, well, you know, Tony goes, Zip, you can get us a record deal? I go, well, I can get us a record made, you know, got to go to Canada. He goes, well, that's okay, let's go to Canada, and we did, so it was fine.
Were they very picky at all, like not wanting to be on certain labels?
Pardon me?
Were they very picky, like they didn't want to be on certain labels?
They probably didn't want to, I'm sure they didn't want to work with certain people. You know, I guess that would be along with certain labels, but yeah, you know, there was at that time there was a lot of sleazy folk down in San Francisco and Los Angeles that were dying to put their meat hooks into you and then rip your flesh out.
Did you get any big offers, just out of curiosity, Zippy Pinhead? Did you get any big offers from major labels in the later days of the Dills?
We got lots of offers. There was tons of offers, but a lot of them were more along the lines of, well, if you had more songs along this type of song, then maybe we could talk, and everything was sort of in their court and not in ours, and we weren't like that.
And we're now joined by another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Who are you, caller?
I don't know, caller. You called me.
Who are you, caller? Who are you?
You're confusing me.
Who are you? Please, go ahead, caller.
My name is Brian R. Goble.
Wimpy Roy!
Hey, Wimp.
Alias.
And also we have on the line Zippy Pinhead.
Yeah, me and Wimp are going to actually be seeing each other in about half an hour.
Well, before you see each other, could you give a bit of background on Wimpy Roy, Zippy Pinhead, if you could? Who is Wimpy Roy?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Probably the greatest man that has ever walked this earth. Finest bass player I've ever known. And a decent human being.
And Wimpy Roy, Brian, how would you describe Zippy Pinhead?
Well, he's just a hunk of burning love and a wicked ass drummer and a nonstop party animal, to name a few things.
Wimpy, when did
I'll
you
drink to that?
When did you first meet Zippy Pinhead? When did you guys first bump into each other?
It was probably out in
Coquitlam.
Out in Coquitlam, I think. We were we had a practice space out there, and Zip didn't live far away with his parents.
Sergeant Nick.
And came by a lot and smoked a lot of dope. And
Was there really that much dope involved in the early Vancouver punk scene? Could have the Vancouver punk scene function without dope?
Good question. I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I think
we smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah, everything. We wouldn't have got together. It would have never congealed.
Yeah, because we had that one thing in common. We all love to smoke pot.
Wimpy Roy, what bands did you play in with Zippy Pinhead? Like, where have you guys played together, recorded, that people can run now and go out and buy?
I don't think we ever did.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything. There's nothing like that on. Nothing like that.
No. No, he was always like a band away from me, or we were on the same bill.
Yeah, but they're going to record the live show on Saturday night, so that'll be our first.
That'll be our first sojourn.
Now, are you doing what bands are you doing, Wimpy Roy, on Saturday night at the Wise Hall as part of the Vancouver Complications CD release?
I'm doing a tribute to Rude Norton and some Subhuman songs.
A bit of background on Rude Norton.
Yay.
What was Rude Norton, Zippy? Maybe you can tell.
Oh, I love the Rude. Well, it was a Wimpy Roy, Ken Montgomery outfit, Mr. Dimwit himself. And I don't know. I can't remember which guy was Rude and which was Norton.
Actually, nobody was either.
And
everybody was Rude and Norton at the same time. And no, they were a great, great band. Great, great fun party band with some of the greatest songs of our time.
And it was only cover songs, wasn't it?
Exactly.
I'm on the radio right now.
Like Gilligan's Island, which is re-released here on the Vancouver Complications CD. You were recording in California for a little bit, and the Subhumans did quite a bit of recording, etc., all up and down the coast, and touring. Wimpy, what do you remember about playing in California, some of the riotous gigs that went down there? Like, I heard you guys played a gig in, like, a kitchen with the Descendants and Black Flag, and there were, like, helicopters hovering over about. Do you remember that gig at all?
Well, I can recall definitely gigs where there was helicopters hovering around, and I do remember playing in a kitchen, but I don't know if those two events were actually taking place at the same time. But,
Were there always helicopters over gigs in California, Zippy, when you played there?
Yeah, absolutely. You thought you were in Vietnam or something. It was terrifying. It was cops against punk rockers back then. I remember one time we were unloading some gear into this truck, and I saw this guy with a mohawk go running down the road, and I'm just sort of on the loading bay loading my stuff into the back of the van. All of a sudden, I see like five cops with billy clubs chasing this guy. Like, the punk rockers easily got a good 100 yards on these guys, and they've got the billy clubs out, and you know that if they catch him, he's a dead man. just for being a punk.
Where was this? Was this in Vancouver?
Los Angeles.
This was Los Angeles. So it was especially bad in L.A., wasn't it?
It was the worst in L.A.
But how about in Vancouver? How rough was it, Wimpy Roy, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, being a punk? Because I know you were a cover boy, like, in Vancouver Magazine. You know,
cover
your,
boy.
Your face was out there.
Lover boy. yeah, it was out there. No, Vancouver wasn't as, you know, as high. They didn't have as much helicopters flying around with spotlights or anything like that at gigs, although, you know, the police would often come into the Smiling Buddha and, you know, just take people away and throw them in the drunk tank or drop them off in other areas of town and stuff like that. Just
yeah.
Fuck with people.
And actually, if anybody has any Smiling Buddha memories, feel free to phone in right now live to the Nard Party Human Serviette Radio Show, 604-822-247, UBCCITR. If you have any questions for Wimpy Roy of the Subhumans or Zippy Pinhead of Bills and Dills and Zills and Zills and millions of bands, you can't even name them all because the Zippy Pinhead has done them all. And actually, Brian, speaking of though intimidation and stuff like and gigs and stuff like that, did you have any problem with all your clothes getting ripped off? Because it seems like at Subhumans gigs, you always had your clothes ripped off. Did you ever get mad at the audience that they kept trying to rip off your clothes?
Yeah.
He was very poor at the time.
There was only, yeah, you know, there was like a segment of people that just came to the shows to try to, like, you know,
rape
me while I was trying to do my thing on stage. So, yeah, it got kind of frustrating. Didn't frustrate me as much as it frustrated our bass player, Jerry Useless, though. He got really sick of it and angry.
Did you end up getting naked, though, a lot at a time?
CITR. You think I usually kept, like, a shred of clothing on.
What are your tips for aspiring punk rock singers to keep their clothes on? Did you have any tips? Any hints that you used back then, any stuff?
Well, you know, I used to, like, you know, try to step on people's fingers, kick them in the head if they got too close.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead to... Who are... Caller, is this Bev?
Yeah, Bev Davies.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bev.
Okay, hi, guys.
Hi.
I just phoned in to say that all the stories are true, and I have the photos to prove it.
It's true.
So nice to hear you guys, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, nice to be heard.
Bev Davies, you took a lot of the photos. What do you remember about the first Vancouver Complications CD release party? Because this is pretty exciting. They're doing it all over again, right?
Yeah, it was at that place. I can't remember the O'Hara's at the foot of Main Street, and it was like up on pillars or something, and everyone said it's going to fall into the ocean, which it didn't do that night, but it was a good gig. That's the night that DOA lost the DOA stamp.
No.
The one off the record with the feet on it, you know, and the stamp that said DOA.
Mm.
That's the night they were stamping people's hands with it at the front, and then it went missing. I did not take it.
Probably find it on eBay.
Maybe we'll find it tomorrow night. Somebody will bring it back and say, hey, I've had this stamp all this time.
That'd be fine. Yeah, maybe it's you.
No.
And Bev, you took a lot of the photos that appear on the back of the Dills Made in Canada 7-incher. What do you remember about seeing the Dills, and what do you remember about Zippy Pinhead, and what are you excited about tomorrow night to see, Bev?
That's a lot of questions. What do I remember about the Dills? The incredible harmony of two brothers. Just incredible.
Hello, Bev. I think we cut you off. Wimpy, are you there?
Yeah.
Sorry, we answered the phone. Bev Davies, legendary photographer, phoned in. So, Bev, if you're listening, please phone back, and we'll hook you all up there together. But Bev was just describing how the last record release party, the last Vancouver Complication record release party, the DOA stamp was actually lost.
The stamp.
The DOA stamp, right, Zippy? The actual... are you still there, Zippy?
Oh, yeah. This is what I hear. I think once again, I was out of town.
Wimpy Roy, Rude Norton was the band that we played a whole bunch of weeks back on the Nard Party Human Serviette Radio Show with the song Tits on the Beach. That was not a cover song, was it?
I think that was an original.
I think it was original. And thank God we have Zippy to answer the question, because we just hung up on Wimpy Roy there again.
Oh, man. So they're just dropping like flies.
They are, but hopefully they're not going to drop like flies before they can play the gig tomorrow night.
No. Heavens no.
Okay, so we'll put this caller back on the... Oh, and now we just dropped Zippy. Hello, are you still there, caller?
Yeah, it's not that easy to get rid of Bev Davies.
And now, Bev, I just dropped Wimpy Roy and Zippy Pinhead.
I know.
So please, okay, we'll try to get them back here. Now, let's see if we can jam you on here. Hold on. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Okay, there. The light should be on. I'm going to test something here. Okay, it's working. Okay, it's working. It is working. We actually have... There! It's safe. When that light is on there, we're safe. So maybe our special helper, Mike, could try to phone back to Zippy Pinhead, if we could, for one moment here. But, Beth, if you could put this a bit in perspective here. Zippy Pinhead and Wimpy Roy, who have we been trying to speak to right here? What is their importance in the Vancouver musical scene? Because this is very important, isn't it?
Gods. Absolute gods.
Because you enjoyed many a gig with the Dills and Subhumans, and how would you describe the Dills? Because you took the photos for the Dills.
I really love them. It just felt like this was town. Are you still there?
Yes, we are. Hello, are you there?
Nope, not anymore.
Okay, we'll try now. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I think we've got Zippy locked.
Yeah, I'm in there.
All right! Thank God.
Well, thank God you gave me the phone number last night.
It's very easy to remember. If anybody else wants to pretend to be anybody else, it's UBCCITR, 822-247, UBCCITR. If you have any questions for Zippy Pinhead, and we will try one last time to reconnect with Brian Wimpy Roy Gopal. But I was just going to say, Bev, could you explain a bit about taking the photos in the back of the Dills record and how Zippy fit in with this all?
I don't remember taking the picture. I know
which picture was live.
They were live photos, were they?
Yeah, the one that was on the back of the Dills was a live one.
Yeah. No, I just remember that just loving the Dills. Absolutely just, you know, I mean, they're just amazing. And they, when I did that photo show and every single person in the photo show was local people, the only non-local people were the Dills because they felt like they belonged here.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, we loved it here.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot of fun.
And we're speaking here to Bev Davies, Vancouver photographer, and also Zippy Pinhead, and we're also joined by...
Hello.
Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, are you there?
That's Brian.
I'm here.
Brian, you're there.
Yeah, back again.
Zippy, are you still there?
Yeah.
Bev, are you still there?
Yeah.
We did. Okay, hold on. We
Dude,
did
you
it.
Made it.
It's jammed up. It's we worked it all together. Brian, sorry for cutting you off. I was going to explain a bit of. I wanted you to explain a bit about Rude Norton. What was it like doing the Rude Norton thing? And what's going to be happening tomorrow night? I guess that's what I really want to get to.
Well, you know, Rude Norton. It was kind of like a, you know, a status quo sort of like raunchy boogie band. You know, kind of we would take. Well-known songs and mutilate them and destroy them and I don't know. We never practiced and we just made listening to music an unpleasant experience in general.
Who else was in the band and who's going to be there tomorrow night at the Wise Hall?
Well, all I know is what I've read on the in the Georgia Strait. So who's going? I think it said the Dish Rags are going to be there. The Shades, I believe, are going to play. DOA is going to play.
How about the Subhumans review? Who's going to be in the Subhumans review? How many tunes are you going to do there, Wimpy? And what's going to happen with the Rude Norton review?
Well, I'm going to probably, sort of string both of them together. It's going to be, like, the headlining event of the evening, starting around midnight, from what I understand. And it's probably going to, be about 6 or 7 songs of each band, and with various guest players coming in and out of the lineup, and, it'll be an exciting time for all.
How hard was it to put out a record back then, Wimpy Roy? How hard was it to put out a record back then? Because I understand that the O Canada, Death to the Sickroid 7-inch, was put out by Praise Records, a religious group put out together.
They just pressed it.
But how hard was it to get it pressed? I mean, you have a song called The Bible is Shit, and you're trying to get a religious group to press your record. There's kind of some problems there sometimes, isn't there?
I don't think they heard that one.
Thank God.
No, I'd actually rather they did hear it, but anyway.
That was a good one.
I don't know. You know, when it comes down to a choice between ethics and money, I think most religious groups will choose money anytime, so.
Bev, what do you remember about Rude Norton, Bev Davies? Because you took a lot of the photos from the rare Rude Norton 7-inch that's been reissued.
Yeah, they were fantastic. And they played instruments that they were not necessarily familiar with. And what was that that the woman in the Vancouver Sun always called it? Hybrid bands.
Yeah.
I guess it was a bit of a hybrid band.
Yeah.
And, like Nick Jones was the drummer.
Drummer, yeah.
a lot of cases, and Dimwit
wore a dress quite often.
Dimwit was a guitar player.
Yeah, he was playing guitar in that.
What?
I'm still playing.
And Wimpy wore a dress quite often.
Yeah, I've worn a dress a few times.
A couple of times, yeah.
What was it like when bands were opening for other bands from other places? I guess what I mean by that is, what was it like opening for Billy Idol, Zippy Pinhead? Didn't you open for Billy Idol at one time?
That was with Los Populeros, yeah. We actually lived at the Hacienda up on Richard Street, 754 Richards, which is no longer there as I drove by today. And we just happened to be two blocks away from the Commodore, and they used to call us up when the backup bands couldn't get across the border, and they said, can you guys show up in a half an hour and play a show? And we said, sure, we'll give you $200 and all the beer you can drink. We're there. And that's how we got a few gigs that way, only because we lived two blocks away and we all lived together.
Did you have any incidents with any of these bands you played with? Because, you know, DOA had that very famous story where they're mixing it up with David Lee Roth. Did you have any incidents with any of these bands, Wimpy or Zippy?
I got drunk with Billy Idol.
Really?
Yeah, that was fun.
Did you outdrink him, being, you know, the Canadian?
No. No. He kept up. he was fine. Fine on his own. No, he's a really good guy. Really, really funny guy. That was the one. Once we got the gig, I went, wow, Billy Idol, wow. I was such a huge fan. We were all such huge fans of Generation X. So we were, you know, all of us were dying to meet him. When I found out I'm in the backup band, it's like, yay, let's party. So that was great.
And we're now joined on an Ardwater Human Survey Radio Show. Caller, are you there?
Which one?
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hey, it's Rampage.
Ooh.
Randy.
Bambi.
What? Oh, it's, oh, hey, Pinhead.
Yeah, Randy Rampage, can you identify who's on the line right now?
Can I what?
Can you identify all the people that are on the line right now, Randy Rampage?
I can hear that Gearbox Pinhead on there. There, but,
okay, other voice on the line, maybe say a few words and see if Randy can remember you.
Okay, come on,
I don't know.
Other voice.
Oh, he'll remember me. Wasn't that long ago we ran into each other. I think it was at the DOA 25th anniversary show or something like that.
Oh, see, who's that in there?
Well, it's Wimp.
Oh, the Wimpster.
Yeah.
What's up, boys?
And we have one other voice on there as well, Randy Rampage.
See, this is such a bad connection. It's like talking over through my nose, you know?
I don't know if Randy will recognize me.
Oh, who's that?
Give a hint. Tell a story, caller. Tell a story.
Come on, yeah, let's hear some
tell
dirt.
A story and see if Randy will get the story.
Let's hear some dirt.
Oh, no.
No one's got
I had
Randy.
A question for Randy. The high over O'Hara's photograph of you jumping 20 feet in the air.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Was it taken at the... I can't remember whether it was taken at the compilation.
O'Hara's.
That one was at...
It was at O'Hara's, but so was the compilation.
Was I think it was that Dill's DOA Shades show or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
You jumped off the top of
DOA
the...
DOA Dill's Shades,
No, you jumped off the PA.
Oh, I don't know what it was.
I saw him jump right from the ground up.
Yeah, straight up.
Sometimes he slides up the pole.
This is a great musical moment here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We have Randy Rampage of DOA on the line. We have Wimpy Roy from Rude Norton and the Subhumans. We have Bev Davies, who took photos of all of them. And we have Zippy Pinhead from Biz and the Dills, all live here on an Ardwater Human Serviette radio show. And I wanted to ask you, Wimpy Roy, before you go, because I think you're going to actually have to jam with Zippy, aren't you? There's some jam.
I think I'm getting brain cancer from holding this thing up in my ears.
Are you playing tonight with Death Sentence?
No, actually, I decided I was going to save my golden vocal cords for tomorrow night. I didn't want to take a chance on that.
But Death Sentence are playing tonight, and what can you guys say about Death Sentence? Because you guys are having a big gig tomorrow night, the Vancouver Complication CD release party. What can you guys say about Death Sentence, who are playing tonight? It's their 20th anniversary of Death Sentence.
Oh, they're awesome. I think, if you've never heard them play, you should definitely check it out.
I remember when Pete stapled his bag.
You remember that story, Zippy Pinhead? Can you please explain that?
There.
Oh, you were there! Because I've only heard this story through
Pam. I think Rampage was there, too.
Who was there?
I think Rampage was there, too.
Rampage.
What was that for?
Well, when Pete stapled his bag.
Oh, yeah.
What now? Okay, this is awesome, because recently they reissued 21 Jump Street on CD.
Oh.
The first season, and episode number 13 includes Death Sentence.
Oh.
Now, maybe you want to take the story from here, Zippy Pinhead.
Well, they actually, they took over the plaza where we all lived, and they moved in, and we were quite poor at the time, so we took the money, and they moved right into the plaza and did a show on pseudo punk rockers, you know, as good as 21 Jump Street, and kicked us out of the house, really. And as soon as the whatever casting people or the site manager saw our pad, they went, "Well, that looks pretty punk rock to us." And grabbed the pad, and yeah, they did the thing. we never hung out with Johnny Depp or any of those guys. No.
But you're not getting to the actual part of the story that I wanted to hear. To be pinned, what did Pete Nipplehead do, or Randy Rampage?
Well, Pete thought that he was the greatest punk rocker in the world, so he somehow ended up in the bus outside, and the big DOA bus, and he was telling us this and that, and he goes, "Oh, well, I'll show you all," and he whips out his bag out of his pants, and he puts it on the table and grabs a staple gun and stapled his bag to the table. And we went, "Gosh, that's gotta hurt." And then he was wondering if anybody had a butter knife so he could get the staple off his bag
loose.
I'll add, I have no photos of that. No
photos of that one.
What do you remember about that Randy Rampage?
Well, I remember when it happened. I wasn't actually present for the
unstapling of the bag,
but I saw the aftermath and whatnot, and it was a typical Pete punk rock.
He
was a pretty raunchy guy, and
truly,
you know, I liked his music. The songs he wrote, you know, were good, and it's too bad he's not around to continue on. But,
yeah, we miss Pete.
And he's a real pioneer too, because the guy from Jackass, you know, the MTV show Jackass, he staples his balls all the time.
Oh,
it's like another example.
He was
of
the first.
What a great thing to do. For some reason, I've never thought of stapling my balls to a table. You know, I think of doing a lot of things, but I've never thought of that.
Think of doing a lot of things?
Yeah, well, okay.
Bev Davies, I just wanted you to tell the people assembled here today, and again, we're live here on an Ardbody Human Serviette radio show with Randy Rampage from DOA, Zippy Pinhead from Biz and the Dills, Wimpy Roy of the Subhumans, and Bev Davies, photographer, legendary Vancouver photographer. What was your encounter with a manager, Bev, from Europe, and how they dissed the Vancouver bands?
Which manager from Europe?
Like you were saying, like I was saying, like Vancouver's ahead of the game. We stapled our balls years before anybody else.
Well,
you know, like you were saying, like the European bands couldn't understand the Vancouver bands being so far ahead.
I remember being in a dressing room, and Steve Macklin was there, and he was supposed to phone in today, but I guess he hasn't. And it was XTC people were there, and he had given XTC some tapes of all the Vancouver bands, and they said, "Gee, you know, they're kind of catchy tunes, and we sort of like them, but do they really want to be popular with Fuck You?" And, I mean, they just started naming all of these. "I want to go to fucking Hawaii," and they named
XTC,
all this stuff, and they said,
"I
don't."
We played with those guys.
Yeah, yeah. They
yeah,
said,
they're
I don't
funny
think,
guys. They're really funny guys.
Yeah, they said, "I don't think they're really taking the business that seriously with
no.
these songs."
Not as seriously as they were.
No. But great times, great music, and thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you for phoning in, Bev. And
hey.
We'll see you tomorrow night at the Vancouver Complication CD release party at the Wise Hall, featuring DOA, No Fun, Subhumans, Rude Norton Review, E, The Shades, The Dishrags, Tim Ray and AV, and many more surprises, like members of the Pointed Sticks as well. So thanks so much, Bev, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Click, click.
Yeah, you're still listening to CITR Radio, and are you still there, Wimpy Roy?
Yeah, still hanging on.
Anything else you'd like to add to the people out there at all, Wimpy? Like what? What?
Think of anything off that.
What are you doing right now? Anything coming up? Like after this gig, any sort of rock and roll action that we can look out for?
Well, I've been talking with the old Subhumans bass player Jerry Useless about getting together and doing some more writing and some playing. So that might happen. We're kind of got the plans in the works. So we'll see what happens
and
over the next little while.
You're not sure if Jerry's going to be involved tomorrow night at the Wise Hall, then?
I'm pretty sure he isn't, but you never know. He might show up.
That'd be great. I hope he does. I haven't seen the old boy for a while.
Well,
yeah, I think he's driving snowplow on the Coca-Cola or something.
Oh, bumsies.
Well, thanks very much there, Wimpy Roy. And right now we're going to kick into a little bit here of Gilligan's Island by Rude Norton. And Randy Rampage, if you could just hold on the line for a moment.
I sure can.
We'll come right back after that. But Zippy, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
As a matter of fact, I'm playing with another band right now called The Fiends. We're playing on March, Saturday the 19th. At the Anza with this band from Japan called the Surf Coasters. So, come on down.
And what was that band Versus that you were in, Zippy, with a friendly dominatrix?
The kindly dominatrix.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be Olga DeVolga. Yeah, I was the only male member of an all-female band in San Francisco that were quite into leather and chains and whips. It was excellent.
And how did that compare to playing with the local Vancouver guys?
Well, they weren't, you know, the Vancouver guys weren't quite as well dressed as these girls. But besides that, there was no difference.
Well, thanks so much there, Zippy Pinhead, for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. Really appreciate it. And thank you as well, Wimpy Roy. And we're going to kick right now into Gilligan's Island and Randy Rampage, if you could just hold on the line here.
No
and we'll
problem.
Get right to you right back after that. So keep on rocking in the free world and...
See you guys tomorrow night.
See you later, Andy.
Yeah, see you tomorrow night.
Okay, bye.
Ciao, bud.
Back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a skinny wimp, my lad, the skipper fat for sure. 5 passengers set sail that day on a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of a fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this enchanted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper crew, a millionaire is one. A movie star, the professor and Marianne. Not a single luxury like Robinson Crusoe, as primitive as can be, as primitive as can be. So join us here and take my friends, yes, and get a smile from seven stranded castaways. Here on Gilligan's
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And that was Rude Norton with Gilligan's Island. And we still have on the line, Touchwood, are you there, caller?
Who, me?
Yes, who are...
of course I'm still there.
You are Randy Rampage.
You got it. How you doing, Nardwuar?
Good, how about yourself?
Very good. I just come in the door. I just got to run out. I can't be too long. We're going out, DOA's playing tonight out Chilliwack at Legion Hall out there, all ages gigs, so...
Oh, right! So you're playing with them tonight, then?
Yeah, I'll go and do a few songs with them, so... And then tomorrow night's going to be sort of a half-and-half show with DOA. Dan will play for half, and I'll play for half, and then we'll probably have a little, the DOA circus on stage, you know, for a while.
Randy Rampage, this Vancouver Complications CD has Kill, 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 This Is Pop on it by DOA with Chuck singing. What was it like when Chuck sung with DOA? What was Chuck like singing with DOA?
Well, it was really funny because Chuck would... he'd never tell us what lyrics he was going to sing, so you'd sort of understand about every third line that he was singing, right? And, you know, I always knew he was singing something about you or, you know, you know, it was always something pointed against somebody who he was pissed off at the time or whatever, you know. So he'd never let you know what lyrics he was going to sing. And, I mean, it sort of comes through on that song on the record. You know, most of the lyrics are kind of garbled, but there's certain lines that do come through, and... it was funny to watch Chuck sing, you know, when he was playing drums, because he was a pretty, you know, pretty high energy drummer.
Did you guys do that song very much? Kill, kill, kill. This is
no,
Bob?
we haven't done it for years. We did it in Japan when we were over there the last time. We did a bunch of the old stuff. A lot of the Japanese fans wanted to hear a lot of the that song, and also a lot of the stuff off Hardcore 81. Which we just re-released at the time, so we ended up picking up a lot of those songs sort of at soundcheck that we hadn't played for, you know, 20 odd years. It was just like really weird sitting at soundcheck. I was like, okay, well, let's try doing that. And Jan, of course, had never played them at all, so he didn't have a clue where we were going, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, tomorrow night you'll hear a bunch of the old stuff. It's all old stuff. There's none of the new stuff tomorrow night.
Randy Rampage of DOA, the bands featured on the Vancouver Complications CD, they're really versatile. Like, there's all different types of bands. What did you think of the other bands in the scene back then? How did they get along with DOA, like the U-Jerks or Exotone or maybe even E?
Well, really well, actually. I mean, you know, everybody back then, everybody thought there was this big, you know, a big rift between the sort of artier bands or the pop bands and the punk bands. But, you know, it really wasn't that way. It was sort of a thing brought on by, you know, the certain bands, you know, their fans mainly, that, you know, some people liked the arty end of it and didn't like the punk rock end of it, and some people like, you know, and vice versa. So... But as far as the bands went, we all got along really well, and I mean, we all did shows together. I mean, 5440 still always say the first time they ever got an opportunity to play was they opened for us at the Smiling Buddha, you know, like down on Hastings Street in front of a couple hundred people, and I mean, that's where they started. And so that's what it was about. I mean, all these different bands, we put together bills of. You know, whether it was, you know, punk or sort of arty stuff or pop bands, whatever. I mean, it didn't really matter because you were drawing all these bands in, all these different people, and exposing them to, you know, to the different ends of the music that normally they wouldn't really get a chance to see.
Were there any personal faves that you have from the Vancouver Complications CD, songs that you really enjoyed?
It's a hard thing to say. I liked the whole thing. I thought was, you know, I hadn't listened to it for so long until the other night when I grabbed the coffee off Joe again, and there's some really neat stuff on there. There's some I don't want to say anything's better than the other. I think it was just a really good representation of the scene at that time, what was happening. And I don't think that era really lasted much longer after that happened. I think it sort of it divided off into more, you know, like the Pointed Stick sort of went their way, we went our way, and, you know, Eve, Exotone, all these other bands sort of went their way. But at that time was the only time that everybody really worked together for, you know, for a common thing. And it came out really well. I mean, at the time, we sort of wondered, how the hell is this going to work, you know? And here, 25 years later, we're celebrating, and it's just, you know, it's a really cool thing. It's a great thing to do.
Randy Rampage, what do your coworkers think of DOA over the years? Like, have people you worked with, like, in actual jobs, not just, like, DOA is a job, I guess, but in your jobs, like, what have people thought about DOA over the years?
Well, some of, you know, I get weird reactions from, you know, now it's like, you know, they all think we're, you know, like we're big stars or something. I mean, little do they know that, you know, what we actually made out of this business, but, you know, because the bands now are getting a lot more attention. But over the years, oh, Christ, I got punched out. I got, you know, treated like dirt, you know, and then other people would, you know, really dug it, you know. So, you know, every end of the spectrum you get, you know, people are people. And, you know, some of them like you, some of them don't. And I, you know, personally, I don't really give a shit. But, you know, if they don't like me, they don't like me. If they do, fantastic, you know. And...
it's just now people on the street, you know, recognize that this end, this type of music is being, you know, it's commonplace now. Whereas back when this, when Complication came out, you know, everybody was getting beat up just for having short hair, you know.
Randy Rampage, what do you remember about Duff from the Farts, and of course now from Velvet Revolver?
Oh, great guy, good friend of mine. You know, he's doing Velvet Revolver now, and you know, and obviously with Guns N' Roses and whatnot. And
because there's a couple quotes that saying, you know, Randy Rampage was my idol. I was severely influenced by him. Later.
Yeah, well, no, Duff's a great guy. I mean, he used to. I remember, you know, down at the Gorilla Room, in you know, one of the early clubs in Seattle. You know, Duff and their other boys from the Farts, they'd hang around and, you know, hey, can we like, carry your gear in so we can get into the show free type thing, you know? And then next thing I know, I didn't see him for, you know, for probably 5 or 6 years. And all of a sudden, boom, this, you know, this Guns N' Roses thing is happening. And I'm like, hey, that's, I know that guy, that's Duff, right? You know, it's really... It's an interesting thing.
Have you run into him through any of your other bands, like Annihilator or Ground Zero?
Yeah, actually, I'm working with. I'm actually doing a project right now with just in the the beginning of a project right now with Ray, the drummer from Annihilator, and a few other local people you might know, like Kick from Vertical After is actually playing guitar for me right now. And another local guitar player as well, and another guy, bass player from who played for a band called Grip Inc. out of which was Dave Lombardo from Slayer's band. So you'll be hearing from us pretty soon. We're just sort of in the formative stages of putting that together right now. Had a few rehearsals and have decided to move on with it, so you'll be hearing something from us pretty quick.
Randy Rampage, did you read John Armstrong of the Modernettes book, Buck Cherry's book, Guilty of Everything?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
There's a little mention of you in there on page 29. Do you remember reading that little mention of you?
I can't remember exactly what that was, but yeah.
It was like something about some girls were talking. I mentioned this to Joey last week.
Oh, is this the one about, yeah, but you'd have to give them, you'd have to shower them first or whatever, yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you have to wash them off first. Yeah, that's great. I love it. I think that's fantastic.
Were you a swimmer at one time?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
A professional swimmer? Like, you were pretty into it, weren't you?
Well, there's no professional swimming, but I mean, that's one thing. There are no professional swim teams, but I swam for a Canadian team for a while, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for phoning in to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today, Randy Rampage.
And we'll see you at the show tomorrow night.
We'll see you tomorrow night. And again, all old stuff for DOA.
It's going to be all the older material. You won't hear anything past probably that came out past 82. You know, it'll be all the original stuff.
And any little hints of other stuff that may be happening tomorrow night at the Y? So, I mean, people should pick up the reissued CD, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Come down, there's going to be, it's just going to be... I don't know what's going to happen. It should be really a really interesting evening. I mean, I hear it's you know, that we've sold, most of the tickets are sold. Actually, I think it's even sold out, but I'm sure if people come down, they can get in. So that's about where it's going to go, and I think it's just going to be a crazy night of entertainment.
Well, thanks so much, Randy Rampage, and we're going to play Kill, 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 This Is Pop now with Chuck singing from the Vancouver Complication.
Right on. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, eh?
All right, and do-do-da-loot-do.
Yeah, take care. Do-do! Yeah, baby.
All right, see ya.
Created by the dinner show. What a delicious dinner. What a delicious dinner.
That was DOA with Kill, 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 This Is Pop. And you're listening to the Nerdware to Human Serviette Radio Show on CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And today, we are talking to participants from the Vancouver Complication CD reissue, and of course, the original version as well. And joining us on the line right now is another participant. Caller, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you for hanging on. We kept dumping you, but you're back in true punk rock spirit. And who are you, caller? Please identify yourself. Who are you?
Gary Middleclass from E.
Gary, can you give some background? What is E? What were E? Who are you?
E. Well, let's see. I was in the Generators. The Generators broke up. I started a band called E, which was a very experimental post-punk proto-techno freeform, chaotic kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess we've been talking to Zippy Pinhead, Tim Ray here, Randy Rampage, Wimpy Roy, and Bev Davies, photographer to the stars as well. Any difference between E and those bands?
I think we were a little more on the edge.
You were the band. Well, actually, what is going to happen tomorrow night? A bit of background again. What, oh, for instance, okay, well, let's just say E were a bit different. What instruments did you have in E?
Well, the track that's on the Complication thing was a solo thing that I did, which was never done live, and it was just 8-track tape with synthesizers and guitars.
And was it hard to get that on a punk rock compilation? Because it's quite different, isn't it?
Well, I think they wanted to, you know, a diversity of things, and it certainly was at one end of the spectrum.
Had you done any gigs as E? Because I know there was a 12-inch that came out, right?
Yeah, E turned into a lot of different things after. I think we sort of finished off as a synth-pop band with... Glenn Nelson, later on Images in Vogue.
Wow!
We were doing like the four-piece synth-pop Human League kind of vibe. That's when that was our commercial phase, so to speak.
But when it started way in the beginning on the Vancouver Complication, it was more a one-man band, and that's what you're going to be doing tomorrow night as well, right?
Me and a laptop and a guitar.
That's awesome. Now, how do you think people are going to react to the laptop? But
It's commonplace now.
But I guess back then, though, you basically were using a laptop, weren't you? Like the equivalent of what a laptop... Like if a laptop was available back then, you would have used it, wouldn't you?
No laptops then.
But
no
if
computers.
But if it was available, you would have used it, right, Gary?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
What was the lineup of E? What did it turn into, like the full lineup? Because I know there was a female in the band E, right?
Yeah, Gina Daniels. She was keyboard player and singer. Barry Taylor.
From the Young Canadians.
Young Canadians. Kay Tells was the drums. My brother Scott Bourgeois on bass for a while. Let's see, Tom Haidu from Tom and Andy, now the multimillionaire Southern California producer.
Really?
Yeah, Glenn Nelson I mentioned. You know, Glenn.
The Who's the Million Dollar Producer? Please hit me to this.
What's that?
Who's the Million Dollar Producer?
Tom Haidu of Tom and Andy. They've done soundtracks for people like Oliver Stone. Done lots of, like, major commercials and stuff like that.
And they were in your band, E?
Well, Tom was at one point, yep. Percussionist.
And what other bands did he advance to after E?
Actually, when he left, he went to Princeton, got a degree, and then moved to California and hit it big time.
So a Canadian making good.
Yeah.
You've really helped a lot of bands out, because weren't you in an early version of the Paolas too, Gary?
I was the original bass player when they got signed to A&M Records.
And then what happened? You got out.
Well, after about a year doing the tour thing, I figured if I was going to starve on the road, I wanted to do it for my own purposes. That's why I started E after that.
Now, with E, what sort of reaction did you get when you were playing live? Because I've done a little... Yeah, what was the reaction?
Can we say polarized audience? We did one show, a battle of the bands, and basically did this freeform sort of improv punk. We had Blender solos, and the audience was either going, get off the stage, or you guys rock.
You had Blender solos. Was there anything in the Blender?
No.
I was kind of picturing like an Orange Julius or something.
I was kind of thinking a Trout, but...
I actually have a review from that very gig there, Gary.
And
it said, it was refreshing to hear a group that lacked any commercial potential. That is a compliment, I think.
I think so, you know. I mean, isn't that what punk was all about?
I mean, so it doesn't sound like everybody hated you. It's like they were, like, you know, really analyzing this.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like I said, some people really liked what we were doing, thought we were a refreshing concept.
So you're going to be doing E tomorrow night at the Wise Hall as part of the Vancouver Complications CD release party. You mentioned the Generators. Who were the Generators? Who was in the Generators?
Oh, let's see. Brock Smith, the drummer we stole from Tim Ray and AV. He was a Satanist biker, a Buddhist monk. Guy was amazing.
What a combination.
Yeah.
A Satanist biker, Buddha monk.
He's something, that guy. Haven't seen him for a few years. Michael Clark, a.k.a. Michael Wonderful, who's still one of my best friends in the world. And Randy Pandora, who was in Exotone, which is one of the bands on the compilation.
And have we heard the Generators anywhere? Were you guys actually on the Last Call CD?
Yeah, we did. I Want to Be a Girl was on that.
Was that planned for release but never released? Was there any vinyl of the Generators ever released?
No, we did the tapes, and then the band sort of broke up, so we never actually released the vinyl.
What were some of your song titles? Didn't you have a song called Shot Like Larry Flint?
We did, yep. Which has an interesting story. Shot Like Larry Flint, we threw all the notes on the scale in a hat and picked them out. So it was like a 12-tone punk rock anthem.
Do you think you'll be able to do that tomorrow night at all? I'd love to hear it.
No. I don't remember it. I'd have to pick another. Oh, but I'll tell you what, I'll do something with 12 tones sort of out of a hat, but done on a computer.
Does that exist anywhere?
Probably. I don't have a copy, but I think it might somewhere. Actually, I was talking to Grant at Zulu, and it turns out that he has a tape that he just found, a cassette tape of a Generators gig at the Helen Tate Gallery, which I'm looking forward to hearing and restoring and seeing what we can do with it.
So, Gary, your bands were the Generators, E, and then Paolas, and then what?
Mind Gallery, which is my current band. Instrumental progressive rock. All original, you know, Yes meets King Crimson kind of Genesis vibe. We put out a CD every 5 years. We've got 3 CDs out now. MindGallery.com, there's the plug. For those interested in instrumental progressive rock.
And Gary, right now we're going to kick in. Well, there are quite a few are interested in instrumental progressive rock. We're going to kick into your song E925 from the Complication.
Yeah.
What can you tell the people about E925, Gary?
Okay, it's sort of a programmatic piece.
Because this is from 79. This is like OG.
Right.
This is like OG electronica.
Oh, yeah. It's proto techno. So the intro is about, like, you wake up in the morning, everything's good. That's the 9 part. The next part where it gets, like, the beat, that's the 2 part where you're working all day. And the 5 part where it all breaks to pieces is kind of like when you get home and, you know, get deranged and finish your day. So you can repeat the cycle all over again.
And what sort of reaction did you get once the Complication came out with your contribution on it? Did you get any feedback? What did people think?
Not a lot. I think it was just so different than everything else on the album that it kind of, people didn't know what to think.
And then you put a band together with it, right?
Yeah, well, I just kept the name and just kept changing the concept, trying new things all the time, so I got bored easily. So we would try new things, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, thanks so much for calling in to the Nerdwater Human Surfing Radio Show. Gary, sorry we lost you there a few times, but you braved it, just like
I guess
you braved the bottle. Did you have any bottles thrown at you or anything when you were performing in E back then, or was it pretty nice? Or were the gigs pretty friendly with E?
Oh, no, we had things thrown at us, you bet. I remember one gig at the Pender Ballroom where I think people were throwing plastic army men and bread.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they brought plastic army men to gigs, eh?
I guess.
What sort of bread? Bread doesn't really hurt, does it?
Well, no. I mean, the bread was, you know, the fun part. And they were small plastic army men. To be fair, they weren't, like, lethal.
So you'd like people to bring that tomorrow night to the Wise Hall?
They can bring whatever they like.
To bring back the old days with E.
Yeah.
So this is E925 from the Vancouver Complication re-release here.
Excellent.
On Sun Death Records on the Nerdwater Human Servant Radio Show. And Gary, doot doodaloot doo.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- See you now, Gordon.
Yeah.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and from 1979, that was E with E925, and you're listening to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show's profile of the Vancouver Complication CD release, and joining us on the phone right now is another participant in the gig tomorrow night, and also from the CD. Who are you? Are you there, caller? Hello.
Hello, I'm here.
Who are you, caller?
I'm Bill Napier-Hemme from the Pointed Sticks.
How the hell are you, Bill?
I'm fine, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Are you feeling any better?
I'm feeling great, yes. I'm over my cold.
So tomorrow night, there's going to be some Pointed Sticks action. Could you explain to the listeners what might be going on?
Well, I don't know. Well, there won't really be any Pointed Stick action, but I don't know. I'll be there, and I think Tony Bardak will be there, and we might do something.
Oh, that's very exciting.
But I don't know. I understand there's going to be kind of a jam.
And have you been on stage with Tony recently at all?
I haven't been. No. I haven't been on stage with Tony for, like, a long time since, you know, he was with the band sort of until, you know, for about half of the band's career. And so since then, no, I haven't. So it'll be fun. If we do anything, it should be good. Anyway, it'll be nice to see him anyway.
Yeah, because I have never seen the Pointed Sticks or any version of the Pointed Sticks on stage ever together at the same time. Although, have there ever been any Frank Five sort of reunions where you've been on stage with Nick Jones or Gord at all?
Oh, I've jammed with the Frinks a couple of times.
So there has been some Pointed Sticks on stage together before.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really call it the Pointed Sticks. I mean, it's the Frinks. The Frinks are their own thing. And but yeah, I've jammed at the Frinks.
And tomorrow night at the Vancouver Complication CD release party, DOA, no fun, subview, E, who we just heard, what did you think of E?
Oh, I love that old synth stuff. It's fantastic. It's great.
Now, what did you guys think of them when you were in the Pointed Sticks? What did people think of E back then?
Oh, I thought they were lots of fun. Oh, I really love all those old synthesizers. I don't know. I like them. They were quirky and weird and just loads of fun. No, I love them. And you know, I've kept in touch with Gary over the years. And I've done a few things with him.
Neil, is there anybody you're excited to see tomorrow night, Bill, of the Pointed Sticks?
I'm excited to see E.
And it's going to be Gary and his laptop. That's what I found out.
Yes. No, I'm very excited to see E because, you know, that's something I haven't seen for a long, long time. And I'm curious as to what he's going to do. Now, the Dish Rags, of course, I'm very excited about because, you know, that's my wife, you know, Jade is my wife, and her band's the greatest, and they're going to do a few songs.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
And this is like the first time on stage in quite a few years, right?
Yeah, in fact, I had the honor of witnessing the first time the original three members played together since 1979, just like last week when they were practicing, and I was there for their practice, and it sounded good, so I felt very lucky.
And this is very exciting, so much so that we're going a bit past the CITR news, which usually begins at this time at 5 p.m. on CITR, to further so stay tuned for the CITR news coming up to further explore the Pointed Sticks appearance, or a Pointed Stick appearance tomorrow night at the Vancouver Complication CD Release Party, and the Dish Rags reforming tomorrow night for the Wise Hall. For the people that don't know, how would you describe the Dish Rags? When was the first time you saw the Dish Rags, Bill Napier-Hemme?
Oh, boy. Well, I missed their legendary Japanese hall gig. I think I was at an Emerson, Lake & Palmer concert that night. But I saw them at like some warehouse down in Gastown and was immediately enamored of them. And I figured I wanted to spend the rest of my life with the lead singer, and it's working out very well so far. You know, we're 25 years on now.
And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned the Japanese hall gig, because the Dish Rags were the first punk band to play ever in Vancouver. They may not have been the very first punk band, but they were the first punks on stage at the first officially sanctioned punk gig, weren't they?
That's correct, because they were opening up for the Furies.
And members of the Furies will be appearing tomorrow night as the Shades at the Wise Hall, too, right?
Absolutely, and Chris Arnett has done, he's been writing a lot of new songs and stuff, and I actually did some recording with him recently, and he has some excellent new songs, so that's going to be great to hear.
On the Pointed Sticks front, I recently got a hold of the Out of the Blue DVD. You guys appear in the movie Out of the Blue. Have you seen the DVD?
Yes. I have.
It's a very low-budget DVD. It's from 1980, the movie. The DVD is very low-budget. The movie's not low-budget, I don't think, because it looks really amazing. What did you think of it when you re-looked at the movie from 1980? And what do you remember about this? This is a Dennis Hopper movie that your band, The Pointed Sticks, get to kind of star in, and it's some great concert footage. And are you playing live there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely we are. No, that was interesting, because when the movie came out, well, it was fun to make it, and then when the movie first came out, I think we saw it at the Ridge, and I just thought, this isn't a very good movie. It's kind of boring. And then years and years went by, and Nick Jones found five copies of the DVD in some second-hand shop in, like, Chicago or something, and gave me one and distributed the rest. So I got to see it again just a couple of years ago, and it's an interesting film because I like it because it shows what Vancouver looked like and felt like back then. You know, it was neat because it showed, you know, it was pre-Expo Vancouver, and it gives a nice, gives a feel of the city very nicely. And then our scene in it is pretty neat.
You're doing Somebody's Mom, right?
Yeah.
And a bit of another song, too? Is there a bit of another song on there as well?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's some Dish Rags in there, but I think it's just...
I think the Dish Rags are on a poster. Are they actually performing in there?
There's Somebody's Mom, and then there's something where... No, the Dish Rags are on the soundtrack or in there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but then I think there's a scene where Linda Mann's gets on the drum set and Dimwit helps Linda Mann's drum or something. She's the star of the film.
How hard was it to get Dimwit to drum in the Pointed Sticks? Because in some old interviews, he called you guys, quote, brainless bubbleheads. This is when he was in, like, the Subhumans and DOA. How hard was it to get Dimwit, and how jealous were people that you had Dimwit, the secret weapon?
I'm not sure if... I don't know how jealous people were, but they must have been jealous because he was such a good drummer. But I don't think it was hard. I mean, we just, you know, we asked him if he wanted to join, and we tried it out, and it seemed to work well. You know, so it wasn't, I don't think we had to twist anyone's arm. you know, it just kind of worked out. Worked out nicely.
I was also hoping that Steve Macklem could phone into the Nardwater Human Survey at Radio Show here today, but unfortunately, I guess he hasn't phoned yet in. Maybe the line was busy or something. But what was his role exactly in the complication? Because he was your manager, wasn't he, of the pointed stakes?
He figures very large in this whole thing, because and especially with our contribution to it, because, yeah, he was our manager. He helped get the complication album organized, and he wrote the lyrics to the marching song, which is the song we did. He wrote the lyrics for it, and that's the first song on the album.
What's that noise that begins? That
I don't know what that is. I'm sure someone else out there knows what it is. I don't know what it is. I can't remember.
Did you know it was going to be on there, or did you just put the record on and found out that it was on there?
Yeah, you know, I really can't remember. I don't know. But I don't mind it. It sounds fine.
It sounds great on CD. That's what I really like about it.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting the CD. Don't have it yet. I tried to play my old vinyl record the other day, and my turntable's not working right, so I was a little disappointed with that. Steve Macklem is, you know, heavily involved at that time with the scene and with us.
And he helped get the name of the Pointed Sticks out there. Were you guys also courting other major labels other than Stiff Records, you know, in the 1980s, way back when, like CBS and RCA and United Artists? Were they all expressing interest in the Pointed Sticks, too?
There was some talk about Sire or something. I don't really know. I don't know. It's a blur for me. It's kind of a blur, and I don't really understand the business that
I guess
that
I was
well.
Just wondering, what sort of feedback did you get from your releases or from the Vancouver complication? Did people really like the marching song from that release? Like when you toured, had people bought the record up and down the West Coast, or had people bought the singles more?
I don't know, I think the singles probably more. I don't know, but you know, that song, well, people always seem to like it, and people... It's one of those songs that you know, it's a good song, and people just sort of, if they hear it, they ask about it, and they remember it. I mean, I had students of mine at my school who were interested in that song, and I ended up playing it with them at my high school, the school where I teach music. And so I ended up, you know, just like 6-7 years ago, teaching that song to my kids, and the students wanted, it was their idea, they wanted to do it. And then recently, I think Gob covered it. And I think other people have done it too. So anyway, it's just a strong song, and
hopefully we'll be hearing a little bit of it tomorrow night at the Wise Hall, possibly.
Well,
right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
And Bill Naperhemi, do you think you might be able to pass the phone over to your wife, Jade Blade from the Dishrag? Is she around at all?
Hang on a second. I'll go just yell holler. Hang on.
Thank you. And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. We were just speaking there to Bill Naperhemi from the Pointed Sticks, who will be appearing tomorrow night at the Wise Hall.
Hang on, here she comes.
And we're hopefully going to be joined shortly by Jade Blade.
Hello.
Hello, Jade Blade.
Hey, Nardwar.
How the hell are ya?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. Who are you, Jade Blade? Just for the people out there that maybe don't know. Who are you, Jade Blade?
Well, once I was a punk rocker who played in a band called the Dishrags. From 77 to 1980. Long time ago.
And you are playing tomorrow night for the first time in many years. Is this true?
This is true.
The original lineup.
The originals, yep.
In fact, I think you might be the only band. Well, actually, Gary Bourgeoisie, he's playing with E, since he's the only member. So I guess he'll be, you and probably E are probably the only bands that have the exact, maybe No Fun might have the exact lineup.
Yeah, and you know what? The Shades do, too.
They do, eh?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Now, how do the Shades play into the Dishrags history? Because I was also mentioning to Bill, you played with them when they were the Furies, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it wasn't them. It was just Chris Arnett, who was the singer-songwriter. So so he played with two other guys in the Furies and then went on to form the Shades. So we don't have that particular history with the Shades. It's more just with Chris.
But still, with Chris, though, Chris gave you the opportunity to open the very first punk rock gig in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, right? Was that the very first gig or first sanctioned gig that the Dishrags played, right?
Absolutely, yep. 77.
So you were blazing the way, and you didn't even know you were blazing the way, really. did you know the pressure? Like, did anybody say, hey, Jade, you guys are going to be the first punks ever to play in Vancouver?
Well, it was billed, actually. I think, if I recall correctly on the poster, it was billed as the first punk rock gig. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we ever imagined that we'd be doing it again 20-odd years later. So we didn't realize it was the beginning of something that was going to stick around, that's for sure.
I think it's so cool, too, that you guys were like an all-girl band. Like, it wasn't just like guy rockers doing it. Were there any other female bands out there at that time? Was there anybody for you guys to kind of compare yourself to on the punk angle? Like, were you looking at any female punk bands?
Well, we like Patti Smith, but, you know, she's not exactly a punk rocker. And Deborah Harry, but you know, the only all girl bands that I remember around then were like the Runaways, which were, you know, really awful.
You didn't dig them too much?
No, we hated the Runaways, although actually we did actually cover one of their songs.
Oh, right, because people wanted to hear it?
No, I don't know why we did. We just, I don't know. We figured they were our main competition, ha-ha.
And after you guys, to go after the competition, that's amazing, Jade Blade of the Dishrag. How about other bands that popped up? Were there any other all-female rock and roll bands out of Vancouver after you guys sprouted up? Like, were there any that recorded? Because we can hear your contributions on the reissued Vancouver Complication CD, and we can hear them tomorrow night at the Wise Hall. Were there any other bands that were recorded that were all-female rockers?
Well, there was the Devices, and then they, Sue and Kim from the Devices later joined the Dishrags after Dale left. But I'm trying, I mean, there were a lot of sort of mixed gender bands, but I don't remember there being all that many all-girl bands other than the Devices.
I don't like to mention the all-girl thing too much because I don't think you should be compared to girls all the time. However, didn't being an all-girl band get you on the Clash gig? How did that happen that you ended up opening for the Clash when they played their first gig here in North America?
Yeah, well, their manager at the time, Carolyn Kuhn, I think her name was, she wanted as many women bands as possible to open for the Clash, which I think was a good thing, but yeah, so that got us on the bill in Vancouver, which was really exciting. That was awesome.
Did he get a chance to meet the band at all at that time? Did they listen to you guys? Did you get to meet Carolyn Kuhn at all?
Oh yeah, I met her a few times actually, and yeah, the band members were really nice actually, especially Joe Strummer, because he was the guy who came up and sort of shook our hands, and then when we played London's Burning, they came out to the side of the stage and danced, and that was probably one of my proudest moments, to see the Clash dancing to us playing. That was a real thrill.
And before they even had a chance to play it in North America.
Yes, that's right.
Like, you scooped them, just like the Guess Who did Beatles tunes before anybody else, or Shaken All Over. You beat the Clash at their own game. And didn't you have a bit of a relationship, too, with the Clash, in that when they came back to Vancouver, they kept asking for you guys?
Well, we did. We played with them. I think we played with them twice as the Dishrags. So in Vancouver, and then in Seattle at the Paramount, and then.
Where did you play with them in Vancouver? Like at the Commodore once, right?
Yeah, the Commodore, and then the next time it wasn't the Dishrags. It was Corsage with the Dishrags on vocals, opening at the Coliseum of all places. But that was, you know, a few years later.
So they remembered. They got in contact with you guys.
You know, I honestly don't remember how all that happened, but I know for the Paramount they did, like they requested us.
That was in Seattle?
Yeah, that's right.
And was that Corsage or was that the Dishrags?
That was the Dishrags.
And when was that? Was that a couple years afterwards or was that on that same tour?
Here's my faulty memory. No, it definitely wasn't the same tour. It was at least a year or two later.
And what was the reaction there like? Did you play London's Burning?
No, we didn't. You know, you can only do that once, I think. That was kind of fun for a lark. It was really fun. But the Paramount's kind of weird because there are seats, and, you know, so a lot of people were just remaining seated while we were playing, which is always a bit annoying.
And did you also have an interesting gig in Seattle with the Ramones, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was, because we played with them a couple of times, but the one in Seattle, we ended up opening and closing for them because Joey, there was something wrong with his throat and he couldn't perform. So people got us instead, which I don't know if they were all too happy about, but that was it turned into our show. But of course, you know, we could only play about, 40 minutes worth of songs. And that was it.
That's incredible. So you opened and headlined for the Ramones in the same night.
Yeah, well, sort of. And it was a fluke.
And tomorrow night, are you allowed to disclose what sort of set you're going to be playing at all there, Jade Blade of the Dishrags, for your first set in many, many, many years?
Well, I don't think it's a secret. Yeah, no, we're playing five songs, which will take probably about 10 minutes. maybe 15 because we don't play quite as fast as we used to. But yeah, no. So we're gonna do 5 songs. Yeah.
Will you be doing any later era Dishwags?
No.
I.e., like Death in the Family.
No. We're just gonna do the trio Dishwag songs.
And Jay Blade, your husband, Bill Napier-Hemmy, will also be reporting to duty tomorrow night as a pointed stick.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell the people about the pointed sticks? When did you first hear the pointed sticks? What did you think of them when you first saw them?
Oh, I thought they were great. The first time I saw them, we shared a practice space. So I just saw them practicing, and that was back in the days of Ian Tiles and Tony Bardock. And then I think, I don't know, maybe the first time I saw them play was at, might have been at the Quadra Club. Oh, now I'm trying to remember, you might remember the chronology better than I do, but when Ernie Dick played with them, too. Do you remember when that was? Was that before Ian Tiles or after? Here, I'm testing you.
Early pointed sticks. Wasn't that very early pointed sticks?
Yeah, but I think Ernie did precede Ian Tiles, didn't he?
But that's pretty exciting, though, the pointed stick, a pointed stick performing tomorrow night. Is there anybody you're looking forward to seeing at all as part of this Vancouver Complications CD release party?
Well, I'm looking forward to it all. I think it's going to be a riot. I mean, I think, you know, the spirit is right. I think everyone's doing this just for fun. And, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to say if there's anyone I'm looking forward to more than anyone else. But I don't know. It'd be great to see Wimpy and DOA. And, of course, the pointed sticks. Tony's playing, too, I think, with Bill, E, of course, looking forward to Gary Bourgeois and the Shades. I mean, yeah, no, I can't leave anyone out. What am I doing? I'm looking forward to them all.
Well, thank you very much, Jade Blade of the Dishrags. Really appreciate you and Bill phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show.
Oh, hey,
very nice of you to help celebrate. This is pretty exciting. So it's your first gig on Saturday in how many years exactly?
Well, the original Dishrags split up in 79, so that's, what, 26 years. That's a long time. We've had one practice, so we might be a little rusty.
But you were teenagers when you started, right? You were teenagers.
Yes,
Let that be known, you were teenagers. How old were you when you started? You must have been very young. You were very young, right?
We were 15 when we played that first show, so, yeah.
How old would have you been when you played with The Clash and the Ramones?
That was that 79? So we would have been 17, I guess.
That's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Well, yeah, no, we were very nervous. It was, it was fun, but it was totally nerve-wracking.
And were other bands angry that you got to open?
I don't think so, or at least, you know, no one told us they were.
Because people knew that you were the original punk rockers from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, reforming 26 years later. Well,
and there weren't a whole lot of bands around either. I mean, really, and other bands got other gigs, you know. Lots of people got to back up bands of the Commodore. So.
Well, thanks very much, Jade Blade. Really appreciate you phoning in, and Bill Napier-Hemmy, and I guess see you tomorrow night in the pit. And right now we're going to end with Bullshit. What can you say about the song Bullshit? It's a bonus track here from the Vancouver Complications CD. You get bonus stuff when you buy the CD.
Well, what can I tell you? That was actually the second song I ever wrote. So I was probably 14 when I wrote that. And it's sort of about growing up in Victoria, Government City.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. From Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, the Dishrags.
Originally, Vancouver when we were 16. But, yeah, when we were 14 and 15, we still lived in Victoria.
Well, thanks so much, Jade. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doo.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye.